ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 टेक्स्ट 20 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। श्री विंध्यावली उवाच क्रीड़ा अर्थम आत्मनः इदं त्रि जगत् कृतं ते स्वाम्यं ते तत्र कुध्यः अपरे ईश कुर्युः कर्तुः प्रभोः तव किम् अस्यतः आवहन्ति त्यक्त ह्रियः त्वत् अवरोपिता कात्री पादाः श्रीविन्ध्यावलीरुवाच क्रीडातमात्मन इदं त्रिजगत्कृतं ते स्वाम्यं तु तत्र कुधियोपर ईश कुर्युः कर्तुः प्रभोस्तव किम् अस्यत आवहन्ति त्यक्तह्रियस्त्वदरोपितकातृवादाः निरातमात्मन इदं त्रिजगत्कृतं ते श्रीविन्ध्यावलिरुवाच क्रीरातमात्मन इदं त्रिजगत्कृतं ते स्वाम्यं तु तत्र कुधियो पर ईश कुर्युः कर्तुः प्रभोस्तव किमस्यत आवहन्ति त्यक्तह्रियस्त्वदरोपितकर्तृवादाः श्रीविन्ध्यावलिरुवाच क्रीडातमात्मन इदं त्रिजगत्कृतं ते स्वाम्यं तु तत्र कुधियो पर ईश कुर्युः कर्तुः प्रभोस्तव किम् अस्यत आवहन्ति श्रीविन्ध्यावलिरुवाच क्रीडातमात्मन इदं त्रिजगत्कृतं ते स्वाम्यं तु तत्र कुधियो पर ईश कुर्युः कर्तुः Kartuf prabhus tavakim asyata avahanti. Tyakta hriyastvadavaro pita kartrivadaha. Sri Vindhavalir Uvacha. Kridatam Atmana Idam Tri Jagat Kritam Te. Swamyam Tu Tatra Kutiyo Para Isha Kuryuhu. Kartu prabhostava kim asyata avahanti. Tyakta hriyastvadavaro pita kartrivadaha. Sri Vindhavalir Uvacha. Kridatam Atmana Idam Tri Jagat Kritam Te.
Swamyam Tu Tatra Kudhiyo Para Isha Kuryuhu.
Swamyam Tu Tatra Kudhiyo Para Isha Kuryuhu.
Kartu Prabhostava Kim Asyat Avahanti.
Kartu Prabhostava Kim Asyat Avahanti.
Jakta Yastvat Avaro Pita Krishvadaha.
Tyakta hriyastvadavaro pita kartrivadaha. Ladies. Sri Vindhavalir Uvacha. Kridatam Atmana Idam Tri Jagat Kritam Te. Swamyam tu tatra kutiyo para isha kuryuhu. Kartuf prabhus tavakim asyata avahanti. Tyakta hriyastvadavaro pita kartrivadaha. Sri Vindhavalir Uvacha. Kriratam Atmana Idam Tri Jagat Kritam Te. Swamyam Tu Tatra Kutiyo Para Isha Kuryuhu. Kartuf prabhostava kim asyata avahanti. Tyakta hriyastvadavaro pita kartrivadaha. Sri Vindhavalihi Uvacha. Vindhavali, the wife of Bali Maharaj, said, Krira Artham, for the sake of pastimes, Atmanaha, of yourself, Idam, this, Trijagat, the three worlds, this universe. Kritam was created te by you. Swamyam proprietorship to but tatra thereon kudhiyaha foolish rascals apare others isha. O my Lord, Kuryuhu, have established Kartuhu for the Supreme Creator, Prabhu, for the Supreme Maintainer, Tava, for your good self, Kim, what? Asyataha, for the Supreme Annihilator, Avahanti, they can offer. Tyakta, Hriyaha, shameless, without intelligence. Tvat, by you. Avaropita, falsely imposed because of a poor fund of knowledge. Katri, Vadaha, the proprietorship of such foolish agnostics. Verse translation. Shrimati Vindhyavali said, O my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Purport. Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be proprietors of the universe, for they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. This part is mine and that part is yours, they say. This part I can give in charity and this part I can keep for enjoyment. These are all demoniac conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Idamadya maya labdham imam prapse manoratham. Thus far I have acquired so much money and land, now I have to add more and more. In this way I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compare with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise of charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would be free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead by whom the body is given, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridesher Juna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of the material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity, it belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim that the body belonged to him? Thus, Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Tyakta Hriyastvad Avaropita Katrivadaha, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of the Supreme Person. In the present age, Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men who are agnostics, disbelieving in the existence of God, has increased, trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. Kshayayo jagato hitaha. They cannot do anything good for the world, and unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by the propaganda of such demons. If the present status quo is allowed to continue, people will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demoniac agnostics. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manum Api Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtapatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tapnatosmi. Vande ham shri guru shri ataf padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavangstra. Shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada twice in this purport uses the word intelligent to describe the wife of Bali Maharaj. She's understood the whole situation. That this whole business of Bali Maharaj giving land to Vamana, it's a ridiculous idea. The idea that anyone can give anything to anyone is a ridiculous idea because everything belongs to Krishna. What she is suggesting is that even his own body, Bali Maharaj, he found a way out. I covered the whole universe with two steps, so what are you going to do for the third step? You have cheated me. You told me you'll give me three steps of land, but you could only give two for all your boasting. And then Bali Maharaj said, will you put your foot over my head? In this way, he surrendered himself, which was what everyone's supposed to do, surrender to Krishna, which is symbolized by bowing down before him. Mam namaskaru, Krishna says. Don't just imagine I'm surrendered, but we have to bow down and surrender. Namaste, we say naman, means going down, putting the head down. But Vindhyavali is making a point that the very idea that the body is mine and I can offer it, that is a misconception. We don't have anything to give. So what would have been better would have been if when Vamanadeva appeared, immediately Bali said, well, actually now I understand I'm completely in Maya, just you can take back the whole universe. It never really belonged to me anyway. It never really belonged to Indra also. But as Srila Prabhupada points out in this purport, that Indra, although he's managing the universe, the topmost planets, he's not in the illusion that I'm the proprietor. whereas Bali Maharaj was. So Bali Maharaj could have said right away, okay, take everything, take my body also, and nothing belongs to me anyway. But anyway, Vamana wanted to have some fun. Srila Prabhupada specifically states that in one of the purports. He wanted to have some fun with his one of his devotees and show how surrendered his devotee is to himself. So from one perspective, Bali Maharaj is most glorious. That's the perspective that we usually highlight, is being highlighted here in the Bhagavatam, that he gave himself fully to Krishna, to Vamanadeva, appearing as Krishna, Keshava Dhrita Vamana Rupa. Jai Jagadish Hare, Chalayati Vikramane, Balimad Bhuta Vamana, Padanaka Nira Janita Janapavana, Keshava Dhrita Vamana Rupa, Jai Jagadish Hare. Specifically says that the first word of this verse from Dashavata Stotra states that Vamana was cheating, playing a trick, an amazing dwarf who can step over the whole universe, has such big steps. And in doing so, another point is that Vamanadeva brought the Ganga to this world by doing so. Now we know what's going on here. That's not right, is it? Wasn't it Bhagirath who brought the Ganga? And we have Vamana, he put his foot through the universe and then the water from the causal ocean leaked through. So we have two stories. They're both correct. Don't ask me how. It's all achintya. Well, it may be different kalpas and this and that. That's the usual expression given. Everything about the Supreme Personality of Godhead is achintya. Achintya bheda bhed. Achintya bheda bhed. One, everything is one. Everything is one, right? Everything is one. Right? State so, Shastra. Ekam Ekavaditiyam. There's one, no second. States in Shastra. It's very clear. So that's true. We can't say it's not true. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything here in this world, it's all Brahma. Everything. But there is difference also. And we don't need to read Srimad Bhagavatam to understand that I am not you and you are not me. But if you read Shankara's writings, you might start to think, I am you and you are me. Doesn't make sense, but if you get your brain screwed up by Shankara, you might start to think that. So both things are true. Everything is one, and everything is distinguished also. There are differences also. So the demigods, they're supposed to understand this. They understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the demons think, Ishvaro hum, I am the proprietor, not Krishna. I am the proprietor. This was the illusion that Bali Maharaj was in, thinking that he is the controller, and as his wife points out. Now, generally a wife won't criticize her husband in public. It's not usually done. She might do to him privately, but not in public. And she's criticizing him very, very strongly here. Shameless, tyakta hriya, having given up shame. Katrivadaha kartaham iti manyate. Ahankara vimurhatma kartaham iti manyate. That means katrivadaha. people who think that I am the doer, who are under the illusion that I am the doer. So she's criticizing him very strongly. She has been described as sadvi in the previous verse, as a chaste woman. She's not any less the chaste for saying all these things, although it is unusual. But everything that's going on is unusual. It's a very unusual time. It's a revolution going on. Revolution means to bring things back to the original situation. So the original situation in the universe is that Indra is in charge. Bali made a revolution, not exactly a revolution. It was an invasion. And now Vamana Dev is putting things back in order, but he does it in his own way. And not only is the universal management all upset, but everyone's mind is all upset. Everyone's wondering what's going on. Bali's wondering what's going on, and Shukra is wondering what's going on, even Indra might be wondering what's going on. Why don't you just kill him? He may think. Why don't you just kill Bali like he killed Hiranyakashipu? Well, he had promised to Prahlad that I won't kill any more in your family, even if they're demons. So that was one thing. He kept his promise. But Indra might have been afraid. You know, keep him alive and he'll build up his power again and come back again. But he didn't, because Vamana went to be the watchman. So the watchman can be to keep enemies out, and it can also be to watch over the person inside. Just like in the British era, they had British advisors at the court of the independent king. So the British advisor was not just to give advice. Yeah, your hair looks very nice today. I think you need to curl it a little bit more. But their advice was, you better keep in line, because you have your independent kingdom, but we're there too. We're the British. And if you don't do what we say, then you're going to be the ex-king of wherever, sooner than expected. So Bali was there in his kingdom, and Vamana was there also. And Bali was perfectly satisfied. Swamin kritato smi varang nayache. Who said that? Prahlad? No, Dhruva. Dhruva said that. Not Bali, but it's a generic realization that everyone should have. When we get Krishna, then we don't want anything else. We're fully satisfied. But as with Dhruva and as with Bali, Vamana Dev anyway gave. You had some desire, okay, you can have it. You want a big kingdom? And Dhruva said, oh, no, I don't really want it anymore. Anyway, take it. Just to show. If you want something from me, I can give it. You wanted a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma, which is impossible? Okay, I'll make it possible. He can do anything he likes. He made it possible. He made his own. What can be higher than the residence of Brahma? He's the greatest person in the universe, right? But then the Supreme Lord himself made his own residence in the universe. So that's even greater than the kingdom of Lord Brahma. So Krishna can do anything. You have some material desires, Krishna can fulfill them also. But you might regret. We might regret. Dhruva Maharaj regretted, oh, now I got to be the head of the universe. He was so, well, the thing he wanted so much, to have such a great kingdom, and then it became a burden for him. Because he thought, well, all I really want to do now is chant Hare Krishna, but now I've got to do all this management and all these different things. See, I'm also subordinate. Dependent, not independent. Really? Oh. Really? Ah. I'm not as great as I thought I was. That's what Vamana came to teach Bali. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, bringing this charming story, the message of it, to bear on the practical world in which we live today. It's nice talking about Bali and Vama and Vindavali, and what's it got to do with the world today? It's the same thing going on. When we're reading about events far away in a different part of the universe, far removed in time, but it's the same mentality that I am the lord of this sphere, others are my enemies. It's the same godless mentality which is going on up to the present day. The whole material world is going on like that. I've been talking in the last few days about how the whole Krishna consciousness is all based on love, living to love. But among the demons, they can't imagine living not loving. They love among themselves. The demons will all support each other, but they have to have some enemy. They identify themselves in terms of enmity. Just like the state of Pakistan, its reason for existence, it seems, is to hate India. Otherwise, it's the country was there before the British divided it. But what is the reason for having a different state? There are Muslims in India. They could be the same country, but they conceive of India as the enemy. So if a real Pakistani must hate India. I went there a couple of times. They have an English newspaper in Karachi called The Dawn. And in that, they refer to India as the enemy. They're not at war at the time, but the enemy. That's the mentality they perpetuate. Otherwise, people might start thinking, why do we have a different country anyway? Because India is much more prosperous economically, and there's democracy working somewhere or other, better than Pakistan. So they're living in enmity. It's part of the demoniac mentality that we have to have some enemy. Whereas the devotee, he sees no one as an enemy. Devotee sees there are demons and demigods, but my only real enemy is my rascal mind, by which I think that someone is my enemy. That's the way a devotee thinks. Of course, the demigods in the universe, they also think of the demons as enemies. So the demigods, they are considered to be sakama bhaktas, devotees with desires for their own enjoyment. And once we have desires for personal enjoyment, then we start thinking in terms of friends and enemies. Whether you're a demon or difference between a demon and a demigod, Devo Bhuto Sargo Lokesmin Daiva Asura Evachas, from Bhagavad Gita, right? What's the next line? Daiva Vistarasha Prokta. But in the Padma Purana, Srila Prabhupada quotes it, there's a different follow-up to that. It is Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva Asuras Tad Viparyaya. That the devotees of Vishnu, they are called godly, and the demons are just the opposite. I remember years and years ago, I quoted this verse in a public talk in Nellore, and afterwards a Ramanuja Vaishnav came and said, "Oh, that's I never heard. Where's that verse from? Very nice." two kinds of, because the Sri Vaishnavas, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva. You see, the Shaivas, they're demons. He liked that. He liked to hear about that. So the demons, they're opposed to Vishnu, and they want to enjoy the material world themselves. And what happens? Everyone comes to the material world, I want to enjoy this. This is my land. No, it's not. It's my land. This is my property. I want to enjoy this. I want to enjoy this woman. You can't enjoy her. And there becomes a competition. and then we form societies and countries, and then we think of each other in terms of enemies. That's a political principle, Machiavellian principle, that if you don't have the head of a state has to keep in the eyes of the people he's ruling over the idea that there's an enemy country. And then all the people, instead of hating the leader of the country himself, they hate the enemy. They direct their propensity to consider someone as an enemy outside, and then they all become united. And if you don't unite them in enmity against someone else, then they'll all gang up against him. And we see that here in India, the Indian cricket team, everyone will cheer it on. Maybe the Muslims will cheer on Pakistan. I don't know if they're playing Pakistan, but they'll cheer it on. But then there's a regional cricket match, right, between Chennai and Kerala, something like that. And then they don't like the Keralites or whatever. Something. Oh, the enmity here is between Tamil Nadu and Karnataka over water. They don't like each other, right? And people from the northeast come to Bangalore to work because people want them, I guess, to sweep the floor and all this kind of thing. But then the people in Bangalore get all upset. What are all these people doing here? And chase them out. So they all, it's against each other. That we have to have someone to hate. Living not to love. And when that is organized, that's called civilization. Organize lovelessness. That you organize one country against another country. Sometimes you cooperate together, just like the demons and the demigods cooperate to churn the ocean of milk. And then again they fight. Before they fight, then they cooperate because they have some mutual interest. And then again they fight. And they go on fighting. So what people very proudly say, a very great civilization, it's just organized lovelessness. This is a phrase I picked up from Aldous Huxley, who you probably, here in India, you never heard of. He's famous for writing a book called Brave New World, which predicts in future how nasty civilization is going to be. People are thinking our civilization is developing so much, so wonderfully, but he saw dystopia, the opposite of utopia. He saw you. There are two famous books in English, both written by British authors. The other one is 1984 by George Orwell, predicting a horrible future, not the future that, yes, technology, we're all going, everything will be wonderful. But they saw a horrible future ahead. So he, as far as I know, he coined the phrase organized lovelessness to describe human society at the present time, and practically it's always like that. We're in the material world to not love Krishna. And just if we love Krishna, then our love for that should expand to love for all living beings. And if we don't love Krishna, that also expands to other living beings. But we have some sense of love, those who like me. Even the crocodiles, what a loveless creature is a crocodile. But they also among themselves, they have cooperation. There's a phrase, crocodile tears. There's some idea the crocodile starts crying and you feel sorry. You say, what's wrong? And he gobbles you up. There's a Chinese saying that other people's tears are just water. What do you care? What do you care, someone's sorry? It's just the opposite, isn't it, of what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Atmo pam yena sarvatya samam pashati yojana sukam yavadi ya sukam va yadi va du kam sayogi paramosmita. The topmost yogi, Krishna states in this verse, and later he states that the topmost yogi is tadgatena antaratmana, one who's taken me within his heart. So he says that the topmost yogi is one who sees everyone else just like himself. This person suffering, I know I feel suffering, and you feel for them. Not that, well, he's suffering, what do I care? What's it to me? But we should see other people are suffering. Their suffering is as real to them as my suffering is to me. Feeling for others. But as this Aldous Huxley pointed out in a very perceptive book, or a book with a, well, the book's not perceptive, but he expressed therein a lot of perception into the human situation, a book called The Primordial Philosophy. But the only problem is that it's the whole book is aimed at an impersonalistic understanding. But impersonalists, they also have so many insights into the human condition. Buddhadev, he got right to the point. Buddhadev's whole philosophy, his teachings, he didn't really teach that much philosophy, actually that came later, but he got right to the point that life in the material world means suffering. There's the point he emphasized. It's all dukkha. Everything here is suffering. And our life should be to make a solution to that suffering. So the Vaishnavas agree. The Vedantists agree. All the followers of Vedanta agree. Although the exposition on Vedanta by Shankara came later, chronologically in this Kali Yuga, but they all agree on this point, and the yoga system also of Patanjali, the same point, that this world is simply suffering, we have to make a solution to it. So this Aldous Huxley, he saw in the civilization, what's going on in the world, it's organized lovelessness in the name of civilization. And We should love every. Why should we try to exploit? Rather, we should love everything. But our lovelessness begins with everything. We, rather than love it, we just want for our own sense gratification. We want. He doesn't use these terms. We want to exploit nature. Actually, we'll find in traditional civilizations all over the world that people, they were very careful how they dealt with nature. They wouldn't. On the principle, Ishavasyamidam, they may not have said in the Sanskrit tradition, we say, Ishavasyamidam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyak tena bhunjita margritha kasya swidhanam. The whole world is created by God, given to us by God. We're here in this world. We should take what we need and not any more. That's a principle which in various ways traditional societies all over the world have understood. Then comes the proliferation of the Bible throughout the world, in which in the very beginning it said that God gave man proprietorship all over the world, over all creatures. And they interpreted that to mean we can kill them, we can beat them, we can do whatever we damn well like because we're the proprietors. It's the same mentality as Bali Maharaj. I'm in control here. But proprietorship means under God. Not that one is an independent proprietor. Everything in this world is meant for our enjoyment. That's what the Christians eat meat, and they say, God made the animals for us to eat. That's what they say. So this mentality, it leads to destroying the earth so that we can take out oil, we can take out minerals. Of course, in traditional societies, there are also minerals and taken out, iron is taken out, and steel is made, and yes, steel wasn't invented recently. And gold, silver, jewels, these things are there in ancient Vedic culture. But this ugra karma by which we pollute all the world and we make horrible industrial enterprises and factories which are dungeons for demons, as Srila Prabhupada described. That wasn't there. and then polluting the whole world with so much this carbon, whatever that comes out of the this soot and lead and gases, and it's all called civilization in the name of progress. But we don't even care about. We're so loveless that the fact that we're polluting the world, and in future generations we're going to suffer from all the mess that we've made and all the pollution we've made. We don't care. I'm going to be dead, so what the hell do we care? That was the attitude. So polluting the world, killing animals. In traditional societies, many of them, they killed animals also, but just what they needed for their food. And more advanced, they thought, we don't need anyway to eat meat. And even in societies in which they had meat, they wouldn't do a lot. In the Western world, the Christian calendar, they have festivals, which are all adopted from pre-Christian, what they call pagan festivals, including Christmas. So on these festival days, they would eat meat. Otherwise, most days they wouldn't eat meat. They didn't kill animals left, right, and center. What we have at the present time is people, they're very concerned what their nail polish looks like and their hairstyle is like, and then what their, if their toilet bowl is clean, and they care over so many things. The fact that they're eating some animal which has been tortured from very birth and killed, and then they don't care. They don't care at all. What does it matter? The nail polish is also made from the bones of some animal that's been slaughtered. They don't care. Well, what do I care? It's not me. So we should say the oneness, in this way we should see the oneness of all living beings. We're all parts of Krishna. We're all living, means we all have consciousness. There's pain. We feel pain. Others feel pain. They don't see this. And then for this society, this organized lovelessness, then they cram people into factories, and now the factories are being taken over by robots, and then they cram people into cities. There's no space to live. Gokul Chandra told me one time that they're making a dam in Gujarat or somewhere, and then they're saying, well, the village is going to be submerged, so never mind, we'll move them all to the city, we'll build a housing colony for them, and there's no place for the children to play. No, we're giving them a field, you see, about the size of this, half the size of this hall. They have plenty of room to play. Previously they had the whole countryside wherever they want. Now, you see, we gave them a little play, and they're all crammed into some buildings, and there's no water or electricity most of the time, because who cares about them? They're just tribal people anyway. So we have to have the dam so that we can have electricity. We'll give them electricity. And by the electricity, they lost their home to have the electricity. So they don't care. Their whole idea that we cram people into the cities, then they have alcohol, and then to support this whole size, it's all very technical. There are so many rules. Every day they make new rules. You never know what's going on. And there's all this paperwork. Nowadays it's all computer work. And they all very technical and complex, and Prabhupada said, just forget all this nonsense. Go back, live on the land, live simply and chant Hare Krishna. But even in the villages, people don't live simply anymore. It's all mechanized, and they all have their cell phones, and society has become very, very complex. Even in the cities, even in the villages, and the villages are part of the mass production, mass distribution. They're growing food, which previously people grew food and they ate it. Nowadays they grow it and they don't know who's going to eat it, and they don't care, and they get some money and then they buy food themselves. Even people who grow, here in Salem it's a tapioca growing center, but the people, they grow the tapioca, they sell it, and then they buy tapioca to eat themselves. They don't process it at home. Actually, you have to process a little carefully. Otherwise, some cyanide comes. You know that? Some cyanide can come. But there's one word which describes it. It's just insane. And it's an insane society. And then what happens, they make government laws which squeeze out the small farmers so they can't exist, so they have to sell their land and or commit suicide and then go. Then the big corporations, they take over all the land, and the people who are previously farmers come to the city with no land, and then the small minority has to control the big majority for their own good. And it's lovelessness, organized lovelessness. This is how we can describe civilization. And Srila Prabhupada came to give us Krishna. He came to give us a society of love in which we can live depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. That's the formula. Simple formula. The land gives food. The land gives cotton. We can make clothing. Cotton, jute. From sheep we can get wool. And then from cows we get milk and ghee and chant Hare Krishna. People think, well, that's too simple. They can't. When we tell people about this, they can't imagine it because it's too simple. What do you need? Food, clothing, shelter, right? And they can't work it out. Right? How can you live like that? They're astonished and think, well, you can't live like that. Well, we are living like that. we're very happy also. And they can't imagine. Well, there's no. No cars, and there's no electric fans, and there's no traffic jams, and there's no. How can you live? How can you live like that? They can't imagine. What do you do? There's nothing to do. Nothing to do in the village. In the city, we can go and watch cricket match, and there's TVs. And in the villages now, there are TVs. There's so many things you can do to entertain yourself. Yeah, what do you do for entertainment? We chant Hare Krishna. They can't understand. How can you be satisfied just chanting Hare Krishna? Because they're so brainwashed by this demoniac idea. You have to be a demon, otherwise you're not civilized. You have to be a demon, otherwise you can't be happy. But it's just the opposite. You can't be happy unless you're not a demon, unless you're a devotee. And then, of course, this organized lovelessness that spreads nation against nation. The United States of America has decided that Russia is its great enemy, for some reason or other. They have to have some enemy. And there was first it was Russia, then it was China, and then Ukraine. They were living with Russia for, and then all of a sudden, they decided Russia's our big enemy. So now, if you're a real Ukrainian, you have to hate the Russians. It's all madness, insanity, that's one word. And what do they spend most money on? Even little countries, Pakistan, little country, they economically not well developed, but they have more than 100 nuclear warheads. And they spend so much of the national budget on planes and bombs and missiles. Why? What's the need? They should just make it one country. And then they wouldn't have to waste all their time. And India and Pakistan, it was one country previously. Just make it one country. They can all chant Hare Krishna. You can chant Allahu Akbar. We have no problem. Chant that as you like. But why this fighting? It's demoniac mentality. So this is the situation of the world, and Srila Prabhupada's pointing it out as he does again and again and again. The politicians, they make plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world. They have plunged the affairs of the world into mismanagement. And what is the solution? What is the solution? Stavapriya has to save the whole world. Well, not only him. It's the Krishna consciousness movement. We're all here to do what? What is the solution? Kale do shanidhe rajan asto asti eko mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vijet. All come together and chant Hare Krishna. What is the solution to the problems of the world? Elect a new president. Trump's out, Biden's in. It'll be a mess in a slightly different form, that's all. Instead of talking like Trump, he'll talk in his own way, that's all. Different makes a change, different personality. He probably won't be as entertaining, be hard to be as entertaining. What is really needed is God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, understanding, Ishavasyamidam sarvam, this world belongs to Krishna, it does not belong to me. We should love Krishna, as a duty we should at least serve Krishna. That's Varnashram, that's a beginning. That's a beginning is Varnashram, we follow our duty, dharma, we should do. But then, Varnashram acharavata purushena paraf. Puman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta. We should worship Vishnu by Varnashram. And then by worshipping him, naturally love develops. And while staying in our situation and chanting Hare Krishna in the Varnashram, then go on hearing about Krishna, Stane Stita Shurikatang Tanuvang Manobihi. In this way develop love for Krishna. This is the solution. All material solutions have failed and will fail, so we have to show a better future. This is the mandate of the Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante Nitaya Trinakam Padaya Nipatya Kritvacha Kaku Shatameta Dahambravi Sah.